Well, you just heard the Christmas story, the account of Christmas from the children this morning. So, is it a fable or is it a fact? Now, stay with me a little bit. Is it truth or is it fiction? And if it is true, how is that going to affect our lives? How is it going to affect us right now? You know, long ago, Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" And you know, people aren't asking that question right now. In fact, the question that people are asking is there truth? Is there truth? Is there anything that we can say is universally true? It was nearly 20 years ago that a professor emeritus of history at the City University of New York Graduate School, okay, this is somebody who is way up there in the academic world, and she wrote an article about a certain perspective called postmodernism that has been infecting universities today. And she says that postmodernism rejects the very idea of truth. For the postmodernist, there is no truth, no knowledge, no objectivity, and ultimately no reality, no objective reality. And you may be thinking, well, who are these people? Well, they're very intelligent people. But for them, nothing is fixed, nothing is permanent, nothing is transcendent. Everything is in a state of total relativity and continual flux. She goes on to observe just how pervasive this thinking is among university professors. She writes, in the leading professional journals today, these are the journals that PhDs submit their articles to, in the leading professional journals today, the words truth, objectivity, and reality generally appear with quotation marks around them, suggesting these concepts have no real value. So when they write truth, they just, you know, truth, we used to know what that meant, but we don't anymore. Now, it is some of those very same professors that don't believe in the truth that have recently decried what they call an epidemic of fake news. You've heard about fake news. It's all over the news. The question is, can you even trust the news that are reporting about the fake news? Well, I read an article recently about how they tracked down someone who was the purveyor of fake news, and they asked him, you know, why is he doing that, and what kind of profit does he make off of fake news? And apparently, according to this article, there's quite a lot of money to be made in fake news with advertising revenue and all that. But the story itself, as I read it, and I have a degree in journalism and a degree in science, and that makes me a skeptic at heart. And I'm thinking, there's nothing in this story that can be verified. How do I know the story itself about people writing fake news is not fake itself? Well, you know, the major, quote, news outlets have been bemoaning this so-called epidemic of fictional news, but they have no one to blame but themselves. Because those who were supposed to be covering the news in an objective and unbiased manner ceased to do that a long time ago. In 2003, the New York Times, which once prided itself as being the, quote, newspaper of record, if you want to know what was true, you read it in the New York Times. But it was caught in 2003 publishing fake news. The newspaper admitted that one of its reporters, Jason Blair, made up or plagiarized some 36 news stories. Today, in America, trust and confidence in the mass media to report the news fully, accurately, and fairly has dropped to its lowest level since Gallup began asking that question back in 1972. Only 32% say they have a great deal or even a fair amount of confidence in the media to report the news fully, accurately, and fairly. This is down 8 percentage points just in the last year alone. We don't have a lot of confidence today in the people who are supposed to be telling us the truth, whether it's journalists, the government, or even educators, teachers. So how do we know what's true? Is the account of Christmas fake news, or is it great news? Is the account of Christmas truth, or is it fiction? You know, more and more this winter festival that we celebrate in our society this time of year, the festival that was once known as Christmas, more and more it's being taken over by fairy tales. And so is the story of Christmas just another fairy tale? Or is it an historical account that really is able to transform our lives and to give our lives meaning and purpose that we so desperately need today? Let's open our Bibles. Would you grab a Bible with me and open to a single verse? It's the next to the last verse of the first letter of John. In this verse, John summarizes his whole letter. You'll find that on page 1904 in the Pew Bible, page 1904. It's John chapter 5, verse 20. John chapter 5, verse 20. And I'm reading this in the Holman Christian Standard Bible because I believe it most accurately translates the Greek language in which this was originally written. And it emphasizes this title of Jesus, the True One. And we're going to look at that and what that says for us today. 1 John chapter 5, it's 1 John, if you're in the Gospel of John, you didn't go far enough in the New Testament. Go all the way back by Revelation. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come. Let me stop there. And we know for sure that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know the True One. And we are in the True One, that is, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful way in which the children shared the account, the true account of Christmas for us. And Father, would you open your word up to us today, not just so that we can know truth, but we can know you who are truth. You are the true one. And Father, may your truth just flood our minds and our hearts this morning to grip us with that truth, that we would come away from here not just filled with some lovely thoughts about this beautiful season, but Father, with life-changing truths that transform us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse emphatically proclaims to know for sure that Jesus, the Son of God, has come, that Christmas is true. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know the True One. John writes that from personal experience. The author John knew what he was talking about when he said, we know that the Son of God has come, that Christmas is true. John was an eyewitness of Jesus. And after Jesus' death on the cross, Mary, the mother of Jesus, lived in John's house. He had access to all of those memories treasured in her heart, all of those accounts which we have only from the mouth of Mary. But he was also an eyewitness of Jesus. At the beginning of his letter, in 1 John chapter 1, he begins the letter by saying, what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. That life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. That what we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you may have fellowship along with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. this same John, in the Gospel of John, the Gospel that bears his name, in John 1:14, we heard that read earlier today, and the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, the only begotten Son, the only unique Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John experienced it when he writes, and we know that the Son of God has come. He really did, because he experienced it. And this morning, we need to be sure that the experience that John had isn't something that's just way back there, but we can experience God the Father. We can experience Jesus the True One as our truth even today, that he comes through his Word so that we can experience him just as much as John experienced him. That's a tall order, but let's dive into that. It says, first point here, Jesus came to give us understanding. Understanding is not just a bunch of knowledge about facts, but it's how they all fit together. It's comprehending, being able to have the meaning of it all. And in a biblical sense, this term understanding, it says, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. In the biblical sense, this means that it's not just knowing the facts, but it's experiencing a reality that transforms our lives. So when he says that we know that Jesus has come, that's the first point, that we can know for sure that this isn't a fable. This actually happened within history. John was there and experienced this true one, Jesus Christ, in the flesh. And then he says he has given us understanding. And that understanding, again, it's not just knowing the facts, but it's experiencing the reality of something that would be beyond us, except that he's come and revealed it to us. He's shown it to us. And we, too, can have that experience of this true God. And so Jesus came into this world. He came to give us understanding so that we can experience God, not just with our minds, but with our whole being. And third, that Jesus, in fact, is this true one. It says that in this short verse, so that we may know the true one. And knowing him isn't just knowing about God. It's knowing God personally, intimately, in a fellowship with him. Remember chapter 1, it says, so that you can have this same fellowship that we share with God the Father, with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you can share that same fellowship just like we did. And so it is knowing, giving us that kind of understanding that Jesus is the true one. So we can know the true one, and we are in the true one, that is in his Son, Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3:7, Jesus refers to himself as the true one. Here in this passage, John refers to God as the true one, and that Jesus, his Son, is the true one. Jesus, in fact, is God, and we can put our trust and confidence in this reality of God because Jesus has come and allowed us to experience that. But then it says an interesting fact, that we are in the true one. How do we be in the true one? Well, I was going to do this with the kids. Maybe I'll do it with you. We got a little bit of time here. So what's in the box? Somebody want to tell me what's in the box? A present, okay. Well, the box itself could be a present, right? But what's in the box? Okay. A box, okay. There we go. So what's in the box? A box. So what's in that box? Okay. Another box, you sure? Okay, come on. How many boxes are there here? One, two, three, four. Four, what's in that one? Another box? Okay. There's a point here to this, that it says that Jesus has come so that we could be in the true one, in God himself. So what's in that one? A box? Okay. All right, what's in this one? No. A present. And what's the present we got? Oh, what is it? All right, so what's that tell us about? Jesus is in the box. We better let Jesus out of the box here. All right, no, that Christmas is the present, right? Jesus said in John 17 that I am in the Father and you are in me. This is a concept that I have 20 years of education, 12 years of school, graduated from high school, 4 more years of college, 3 more years of seminary, some other education past that. And still, it's difficult for me to grasp how the God of the universe wants me to be in him, sharing the fellowship that he has shared together with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from eternity past. He wants us to join in that kind of fellowship, that closeness, that pure joy, that pure peace, that pure ecstatic greatness. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be God, but he wants to enfold us in. So listen to those words again. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know the true one, and we are in the true one that is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way in John 15, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. That word abide is to remain, to stay connected, to be close. And just like the branches on a grapevine, unless they're attached to the vine, just wither and die. Every time you cut a flower off from its life source, it withers and dies. The tree that I have in my home looks green, that we went out and cut, has been drinking up lots of water, but it's still on the path to dying, right? Because it's cut off from its source. And artificially, we're keeping it going and green, but pretty soon it's going to begin to turn brown, and by the time we throw it out, it's going to be pretty well worthless just to be thrown on the fire and burned. Jesus said, unless you stay connected to me, you're not going to experience the kind of life that I came to give you. And I came to give you an abundant life. And so he says, you need to be in me and I in you, being connected to me in a way that you just have to experience. Well, how do we experience that? Well, it says he is the true God and eternal life. In order to experience that, we need to receive him. We need to allow him to connect with us. How does God connect with us? Well, we heard it this morning in John 1, verse 12. And Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. Let me say that again. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. And so how do we get this connection? Well, there's this receiving and believing in Jesus. And it is a marvelous thing that through the pages of the scriptures, as we hear this good news, the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of our sin and to say, yes, we're not connected. Yes, we need this connection. And we're withering and dying. But through the gospel, God calls us to himself, to gives us faith to believe, to realize we're broken people, we're dying people, and we need Jesus. And then he connects us, takes us and connects us in to the vine. He connects us to Jesus so that we're in Christ. And the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone, behold, the new has come. Again and again, the Apostle Paul uses this word to be in Christ. Again and again, the Apostle John uses this word to be in Christ. And Christ in us, this union, this connection together. And it is in that connection together, when we have Jesus, we have eternal life. And this is the testimony. 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Jesus said it this way in John 17:3. This is eternal life. This is eternal life, that you know God, not know about him, but have experienced the reality of God through Jesus Christ. You know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. That's eternal life. When you know Jesus Christ, when you know God through Jesus Christ, when you know the true one, you have the truth. And it's not just that you know the truth, but you experience the truth in a deep and abiding way. And so here's some things to apply. I put down there some truths to trust, truths to trust. And a trust itself is faith. Faith is the word for trust. And faith itself is a gift from God. And so here's some truths as we hear this word and as we turn to the Lord in faith. God gives us the ability by his grace to trust these truths. And that first truth is that we must know him who is true. Know him who is true and experience him who's true. You know, have that connection. If we are born again, being born again means that we have the life of Jesus now abiding in us through the Holy Spirit. We are living a new life. We are, anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. There's something new, brand new for us. So know him who is true. Truth is not an intellectual concept. Truth is a person. Jesus is the truth. You see, everything that is real, everything that is true, will all connect back to God, because God is the base of all reality that we experience. He's the one that created the universe to start with, so every truth goes back to him. He is the true one. He is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything connects back to Jesus. And so to receive the truth, to know him who is true, is to know Jesus. And secondly, we are to abide in him who is true. As Jesus said, stay connected to me. Live in that truth. Live in that love. Live in that joy that I have that's in me and in the Father, in the one true God. Abide, remain, live in him who is true. And then finally, as we've said, receive him who is true for eternal life. To know Jesus, to receive Jesus, to be in Jesus and have Jesus in us is to have eternal life. It begins right now, the moment we believe, and it goes on forever. Because eternal life is nothing less than being with God forever, being with the true one forever. And that truth is in Christ Jesus. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for the children who told not a fable, didn't tell us a fairy tale, but Lord, told us the truth. And so Lord, this morning, as in a world of fakes and fairy tales, Lord, help us to trust in Jesus as the true one. He has come. He is the reality that transforms our lives. He is the gift of Christmas. And it makes an eternal difference that we know him who is the true one. And Father, if there's anyone here today that doubts, if anyone here today that aren't quite sure if you're really true, Lord, may they experience you today. May they just reach out and say, Lord Jesus, I do believe that I need you, that I'm not connected with you, and that I ask you to come into my heart and into my life as my Savior and Lord, just as you've promised to do. And Father, as you do that, I want to begin to live my life with you and for you. And Lord, would you come in and show me the reality of the truth so that I can live in the truth? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.